for want of a better phrase, because for me it's irreligious guidance. It's not religious guidance, so you get it's a mockery of the phrase, but that's what these type of people are good at, making mockery of phrases. They are the religious guidance to the Likud party. They are the, and have been since time, the inheritors of the Zoharite movement coming through Frank, and therefore have always been the religious advisors to the Hoenigs, to the Rothschild. Whenever these people want some advice on a matter from a spiritual perspective, the bankers have always turned to these people, because, of course, like the late Rabbi Schneerson, he was in fact allegedly Frank's successor through umpteenth levels, who himself was the successor of Sabbatai Zevi. So these people all claim I'll use the Islamic term if you don't mind, Darryl, the caliphate of Sabbatai Zevi, and Schneerson was a claimer to, a pretender to that very same throne. It is ironic that we've entered a time where officially they say that they don't have a leader. And it's interesting that the Lubavitch split into two factions, but they're really one. One of the factions was claiming only that he was Messiah. The others claim that he was actually God incarnate. They've all claimed that they were God incarnate at some point as well. Which is the same kind of thing which Jesus, the claims that the Christians would make about Jesus. The only belief that they have, and we must come back to, there are no rules except that you must accept the Messiah as the Messiah. And as long as you accept him as Messiah and whatever he says, apart from that, there are no other rules for that congregation. And Schneerson and all the six Rebs that preceded him in the Lubavitch family were all claimers to the Zoharite tradition. Sadly, it is very sad for us, Darryl, that not many Jews have spoken out about this before. And in fact, the only group that have tried to expose the Lubavitch directly, to my knowledge, before the link on your site, was the Netarei Carter. And the Netarei Carter's rabbis, they put an advert in the New York Times in, I think it was 1994, Darryl, saying that their rabbis had been murdered for over 70 years. They'd been assassinated by people leading the Lubavitch faith in an attempt to silence them, because the Netarei Carter tried to educate Jews about this group that were among them that were nothing to do with Judaism. Even in the worst form, what we would consider the worst form of Talmudic Judaism, these people aren't even in that. They're in a completely different league, better understood as a cult. And now but they've managed to convince...
A cult and occult, both.
Yep, both, absolutely, Dal, completely correct. And the thing is, they've convinced so many lay Jews in the world who are just congregation members, you know, probably happy to walk into one synagogue as much as another. And, you know, they'd wander into a Lubavitch one, see them dressed like Hasidim, and say, oh, these look like Hasidim, Orthodox Jews, they're obviously religious people, we'll join in their services, we'll attend their congregations, we will accept becoming members of their Sayanim network, because of the one of the other political manifestations, of course, of the Lubavitch is the Mossad, and again, the Mossad take their spiritual guidance. You can see from their own, you know, by deception we shall win, or the translation equivalent to that. Again, that motto given to them by the Lubavitch rabbis of the day. By deception, they will win. This is their way, and they will deceive the Jews of the Jewish community. The Netarei Carter have been pointing this out for a long time, and their rabbis have been assassinated by them for that one act.
Well, you know what I'm also watching with this group is that wherever there is a hot spot for drug dealing, a hot spot for political unrest, you'll note that if you check on the African on their website, Chabad, Chabad.org, you'll find a worldwide map of the Lubavitch and where they're located. And if you press on Africa, of course, South Africa is heavily, heavily controlled by Lubavitch locations, but you'll also find none other than the Democratic Republic of Congo, where all of these horrible problems are erupting. But you'll also note that they are the most mineral-rich nation on Earth. Now, there's no surprise there, but then you'll also note wherever there's large amounts of drugs being channeled or purchased or shipped around or anything, especially in South Africa, you'll find Lubavitch there again. You'll find them in meatpacking companies throughout Europe. All of the buyers of meat here in my area of France go right to the Lubavitch Jews, who run the meatpacking industry. And if you go over to the United States, we can talk about the Lubavitch involved in that meatpacking company that was hiring illegal aliens, making crystal methamphetamine on site, forcing immigrant women from Mexico to have sex with them, and having one of the most filthy, disgusting meatpacking places in anybody's memory, almost as bad as what got the meatpacking industry involved in lawsuits back in the turn of the 20th century. And what we've got here is this is supposed to be a meatpacking place that creates a kosher food, which is a lie. And you pointed out to me, Muhammad. Well, I'll let you tell them. What did they do when they were stopped from selling their meat? What did they do? They did something rather typical of this crime gang.
Well, of course, you know, the true kosher meat is among some of the highest quality meat in the world. You know, that when Orthodox rabbis, two of them, turn up for the ritual Jewish sacrifice, you know, they use spotlessly clean knives. The floors, they practically polish the floors before and after. I mean, in the English meat industry, Darrell, the kosher slaughterers have got a very high reputation with non-Jewish butchers. I've heard many Jewish butchers compliment them and talk about how brilliant they are and how they marvel at how careful they are with everything. So here we've got these guys who have produced something akin to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, with that just scared the living daylights out of anybody that visited the place, with blood and guts and all sorts of filth that was months old, all congealed everywhere. And of course, when the Orthodox rabbis turned up, they said, you can't have a kosher certificate conducting like this. We're going to remove the kosher stamp from you. And that meant that they wouldn't be able to sell their product into the Orthodox Jewish community. What did they do? They offered them a few million dollars to keep the stamp. They wouldn't spend a few million dollars, this is the incredible thing, Darrell, on actually getting the place up to the required standard of kosher sacrifice. No, that wasn't it. No, we'll give you a few million dollars, just keep giving us the stamp. How corrupting is that? If you're a practicing Jew and you're listening to what we're saying, we're complimenting you on the standards that you have of hygiene and food processing that normally goes on. Look into this link on the site. If you're Mossad, look into the link. Your own orthodoxy were being bribed by these people, and they're asking you to act as Sayanim for them, and they have no real respect for your religious belief. I've got more respect for your religious belief than they have.
Well, the worst part of it is that they were actually involved in manufacturing drugs and cheating people out of labor and bringing in workers directly from Mexico against the law. They destroyed the cohesion of a small town in the United States, which is no small crime in itself. What comes of it? Low-level managers have been brought to justice, but none of the bigwigs. They all walked away. Why? Because if you're a Luby, you hold the entire court system by the short hairs. You know, if a judge starts going against Lubavitchers in a courtroom, their family starts dying mysteriously, or their house goes on fire, or whatever. But the mafia, and the people investigating them, and I put that on the front page of the site. They're called Shabbat Mafia, and that's exactly what they are. But let's go for a moment and talk about the infrastructure they've built to be this mafia. They show up in the Mumbai bombing recently, where they were actually staying in the Shabbat Lubavitch house, and that they were there packed to the teeth with weapons.
For 10 days. That was very kind of the Lubavitch to put up Al-Qaeda for 10 days.
Yeah, the Al-Qaeda is behind it. That's right. I mean, and you know, that's not reported. What is Al-Qaeda doing at the Lubavitch? But interestingly enough, what we've got here, and again, you said it earlier, they don't care about sacrificing any of their own to get what they want. This is really a vicious mafia that will do whatever it has to, the Bugsy Siegel type of actions, or Meyer Lansky actions, or Jabotinsky type things, or Carrasso. They'll murder, rape, pillage, and plunder anybody to get their way, and they'll do it with joy. They'll do it with pleasure. Because these are psychopaths.
If we just think objectively now, 90% of the world's ecstasy is known to be made in the area known as the Israeli state. It comes from Israel, 90% of the world's ecstasy. This stuff has to find its way into the hands of the drug takers. And right at the very top, we've got to realize that these orthodox guys who look like they're religious under their garb of religious clothing, that people would look at them and think of maybe monks or priests or nuns, you know, this kind of identification. These are holy people, so they're happy coming through customs with tens of millions of dollars in drug because they know that people think they're religious and they're not going to get stopped. And the other thing is that they are selling those things to the mob, Daryl. They have contacts with the mob, and we all know from the movies, you know, that somebody stood there with the finger on the trigger at both sides. So somebody's got a large amount of product, somebody's got a large amount of cash, and it's a very nerve-wracking period. You know, that 5 minutes while everybody gets back in their cars and drives off. These guys must be doing that with somebody. Because they're manufacturing. They were manufacturing the methamphetamine caught red-handed in the States.
Okay.
That stuff was finding itself onto the streets. That has to go through the usual mafia routes. They're supplying the mafia.
Well, they are the mafia. You see, I mean, we always talked about La Cosa Nostra. But La Cosa Nostra was put in power in New York and in other places by the Jews, by this group, as their feet on the ground, so that they could always deflect attention away from what they were doing, and of course, but they were the real money men. They were the real kingpins, you know, behind the Cali cartel and behind the Medellin cartel. You found Jews, and what you found were these Murano Jews out of South America and Mexico, and of course, Mexico City has more billionaires per capita than any place on earth, but all of them, by and large, are Zionist Murano Jews.
Of course, for Murano, we can again read Zoharite. The theology of the Muranos is exactly the same.
Yes.
Hence, we find the Muranos manufacturing rum to finance the slave trade because they didn't have money. Okay, let's make rum. Let's make alcohol out of sugar. Let's turn these otherwise fairly ordinary Africans into alcoholics. We'll supply them with their need, and in return for that, we'll make slaves out of the rest of Africa. There's no change. Let's get people hooked on drugs, and we'll bring the money in from there. We'll turn them into slaves to chemicals. There's no change in the morality at all. It's the same thing.
This guy named the big slave trader out of Africa was another Murano named D'Souza. D'Souza was shipping to Lopez in America. And, of course, D'Souza's descendants are still in Benin and Carabasau and all the way up into Malawi and all of that West African coastline that was slave trading. And D'Souza's family, this Jewish family, still there. running the place by proxy. You can't make this stuff up. You know, but there is a worldwide awakening, Muhammad. You and I discussed it. It's finally creeping into the mainstream in some places, and in popular culture starting to pick up on it. Why? Because it's so in your face now with Obama. You know, this guy is just, why not just put the kipper on his head and run around screaming, "I'm a Zionist Jew"?
And also we have to thank the listeners out there, Daryl, who've stuck with you for these last few years and have actually gone out there and spread the message and done work themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Encourage people with emails, because, you know, as much as we've been there for them, there are people out there who we've probably never heard from who have also been there for us, and this is a joint success which is coming about. It's reached the culture stage, and now that it's reached the culture stage, it shows that we're plateauing into a new level here.
Well, it does, you know, and my numbers are stable, not growing, sadly, because much of the best information is coming from the books on my website. I got to say that, you know, as much as I try to throw together good audio files for people to follow, the best information comes out of these books and comes out of places like Wake Up From Your Slumber, where there are researchers posting constantly current and important information. And I admit much of my information often comes from these same sources, and I try to popularize it through this programming. But the fact is that, you know, many have preceded us in this battle, and all we need to do now is bring together these disparate parts of this conspiracy and place it before the public, and thinking people should be able to make their own decisions. But at the same time, you know, as the economy fails, people are going to have less time or less interest in finding out how to stop them as they are trying to eat or save the roof over their head, Muhammad, or find a job. I don't know. It's getting that bad.
Well, hopefully, the ranks that will be finding their ways to unemployment might actually start spending more time looking on the net and, you know, hopefully going from one link to another to another. Maybe there's people out there that our listeners have know someone who's just lost a job recently. That now is an opportune time to approach them. Maybe you've approached them before, and in the back of their minds, you know, we go back to the scenario in They Live. Hey, you know, I've got a job and a family, and I don't want to know about these things in case it brings trouble my way. Hey, got nothing to lose now. If somebody's new to the unemployment arena, they're much more open to looking into these subjects. And if there are friends or family who've had that misfortune, look on it as an opportunity to try and help them by showing the truth, which will set their minds free from the shackles that they're currently laboring under.
Well, you know, one of the other things I've told people, and Mark Faber says it quite clearly and without any reservation, we are all going to have to be our own central banks, because the other central banks around the world are failing us and will continue to until the implosion. And he was very clear about stating that we are heading for an implosion. And he said he is heavily into physical gold. And the reason he said that is not because I'm telling you you're going to get rich if you buy gold. Don't buy gold because you're going to get rich. You won't. It's not meant to be a way to get rich, but rather it is a store of your present value. And if you want to just remain in this game, if you want to remain viable in this battle, you're going to need a medium of exchange that's acceptable in this upcoming nightmare. And that is going to be the money metals. Now, the money metals, of course, for some people might be platinum or others, but for the rest of us, it's going to be silver. And for some of us just above that, it'll be gold. But gold and silver certainly are going to be seen as a store of real value, and that is why I've recommended you to buy it. Not because it's going to help the criminal Jewish bankers who hold most of it, because that is true. But you on the streets trying to get a bag of flour or some milk for your baby, or, you know, some fuel to run your tractor or whatever it is, you're going to need something to do to make that transaction. And if you've got a couple of bucks right now, I would invest it in silver or gold, if you can get it, Muhammad.
Indeed, and if you're living in the States, you know, if things do start imploding by March time, if you've still got some dollars that you can exchange for it, it might not be a bad idea to start looking into substances like Kevlar as well.
Kevlar. Well, you know, I mentioned to you the other day, I think it was in Texas or Oklahoma, this gun shop opened up on a Saturday after Obama was elected, and he sold $100,000 worth of armaments and guns in a single day. And he said there were little old ladies coming in buying boxes of shells for guns they didn't even own.
Wow.
And I said to myself, oh boy, you know, this is just going to be a mess. I mean, you know, if you have the money, ladies and gentlemen, if you have some money out there, aside from sending me a couple of quid to keep me rolling here, which I do appreciate if you would do, you know, you can still buy a 50 caliber in America. And I recommend anybody who has the shoulder strength to hold on to a 50 cal, buy one. They are expensive. I think you will get them for $2,500 or $2,600 used. $2,100, $2,000. You can pick up a 50 cal and buy yourself some ammunition for it as a starter. You know.
Well, if you're going to try and hold physical gold and you hold it at home, you certainly don't want to let other people know you're doing that.
That's right.
And if you do, then you probably will end up needing things like Kevlar and weapons around the home if people hear you storing these kinds of things there. So, you know, people act wisely out there. You know, by all means, go and get yourself some silver and gold coins, maybe some silver bars and gold bars, but be discreet about it and don't, you know, find yourself at the bar having one too many, telling everybody you've got it, because especially if it starts taking off and becoming very popular to the extent of becoming a medium of exchange again, if you will, a currency again, rather than just a commodity. If it reaches that stage, then people will need to take great care about their stocks, and you yourself are aware of that, Darrell.
Oh, absolutely. You know it. You know, people are willing to do whatever it takes to get what you've got into their possession. And, you know, this world, where we're heading, when they talked about a Mad Max scenario as a possibility, you know, that Mad Max idea came out of a nuclear fight. But, you know, Mad Max can visit us without nuclear. I mean, you want to see a central city deteriorate to the point where it looks like a bomb blast hit it. Just 2 or 3 years of neglect and dire poverty, and you'll think you went into Mad Max. And I see that as our future, sadly. And France is not unscathed, nor is Britain or America or Germany. The entire Western world has taken this one on the chin. And I have to urge everybody to get up and get off their fannies and start telling everybody who did it, everybody who did it. Find out if you've got a Lubavitch Center in your town and go down there with a camera and start snapping pictures of these SOBs. Make sure you bring a group of people because they're violent. But, you know, if you've got 6 or 8 people with you, start finding out who's coming and going. I'll guarantee you, if you see people going in their cars, they more than likely are working for some sort of organization that's not in the best interest of the country. I can promise you that.
And also for those listeners out there who may have been coerced or encouraged to become members of the Sayanim, because these 2,600 places you're talking about, Darrell, the purpose of those footprints is to extend, as the phrase force multiplication goes, extend their reaches out into the local community, try and encourage ordinary local Jews who maybe really don't have much understanding of their faith, but there's a chap in front of them who looks like a rabbi, and you know, therefore gets venerated automatically, encouraging them to join the Sayanim network and give them feedback. These guys have got free intelligence agents all around the world. And really, these people are not pulling that information back to save Judaism and to save those Jews. They're just using them. And these are well-meaning Jews who really think that they're under threat, that they fear maybe anti-Semitism, that they maybe fear whatever things these rabbis, who aren't real rabbis, are sowing in their minds. They've got to look at the evidence now of the link which is on your site, Darrell. They know where your site is. Go and look at it and tell their friends to go and look at it and realize we don't have a problem with real orthodoxy. Real orthodoxy, okay, we might not like some of it, but at least it's really orthodox. And these people are not orthodox, not by any stretch of the imagination.
No, they're murderers, and they're willing to do whatever it takes. And in fact, you know, with the kind of virulence that they're willing to act with, they are really pushing the agenda forward for Rothschild and for Oppenheimer and for the rest of these crooks. Who sit at the top of this pyramid of crime and sickness. You know, some people have said that they are Luciferian. Now, whether or not they believe in Lucifer or they believe in Beelzebub or, you know, whoever they believe in, it really doesn't matter. What matters is the result of their actions and what they're doing in real time. And in real time, ladies and gentlemen, you're losing your freedom because of them. You're losing your job because of them. You're losing your potential to eat in the very near future. Your children are being kidnapped by them. They are being molested by them. You'll find that the Lubavitch is involved in child pornography and involved in drug dealing. So they're selling the heroin on your corner. Now, they may not be the guy making the nickel bag transaction, but they're the person at the very top of the pyramid who provided that drug to those street-level dealers. And you'll find out they're in the coke dealing industry and the meth dealing industry and the ecstasy dealing industry and the putrid meat dealing industry. Well, they are in every sickness pornography. You know, you take a look at who's behind pornography and find out if the Lubavitchers are not involved in that as well, and I guarantee out of Los Angeles they are. Everywhere you go, everything you see that's not good in this world, you can trace back to these people all the way back up to their masters, Muhammad.
Absolutely can. And of course, the thread goes back several hundred years too. And these people have been shunned by Orthodox Judaism and ordinary Jews repeatedly, and but they keep coming back. And now it appears to me, Darrell, that most of the Jews in the world have been ensnared through their logic and cunning and guile.
Well, and if you take a look, you'll go back and you'll find out that the roots of Zionism are theirs, and you'll also find out that the protocols of the elders come from their group. You'll find out that the Frankist movement, and you'll find out that Jabotinsky in the most recent incarnation of sickness. You'll find out that these Lubavitch are standing behind world leaders like George Bush in the White House. They're standing behind Putin in the Kremlin. They stand behind. You take a look at photographs. Whatever type in the name of any world leader and then put Jewish beside it and then press image, and you'll find one of these Lubavitch bearded cretins standing beside that world leader. The premier of Canada standing with them. The Japanese prime minister over in Japan also standing with them. Merkel standing with them. It's unbelievable. I mean, boy, oh boy, get your hard hat on, put your Velcro, Kevlar vest on, and we're in mess. We're in a mess. So I thought tonight would be a chance to introduce the listener. Now, I want more information on Lubavitch. I will give you a good reading assignment, ladies and gentlemen. Go back to a person I promoted from the beginning and have used her research to really get underway in my work, Carol Valentine. Go back and look at Merry Christmas, You're Dead. She wrote that article back in 2002. It's about the Lubavitch and others, about the Noahide laws and about the two-tier justice system that's on our horizon. And you're not going to like what you read, but she's spot on, always has been. Carol Valentine is a real wealth of information, her site. So type her in, Carol Valentine, then go to her website and read. Anyway, We've got an hour done, Muhammad. I want to thank you for coming on the French Connection today. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't do the Tuesday show. We had some glitches with South Africa. Don't know what to do about fixing it, but I keep trying. You know, one of my problems here is that I'm an amateur producer of radio shows. It's always been that way. I don't have the wherewithal or the makeup here to do top-notch stuff. And lately I've had a relationship with a radio station that has had their own issues to deal with. And so between myself and their issues, the rest of it, things get mucked up. And there it goes. There it is. I'm not going to blame anything on anybody except to tell you that there are roadblocks often in the way there, Muhammad. So, but thank you again, my friend.
No, you're very welcome. Thank you for the opportunity, Darryl.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the French Connection you're listening to, and I want to thank you all for tuning in today. Please, start a garden, buy a 50 cal, box of shells, and gold and silver. Hang on to your hat, kiss your family, and until the next time, please take care of yourselves and be well. Bye-bye now.